Hello, this is Carol Bond with the reading of the Decatur Herald and Review, dated May 26th, 2015. This is Tuesday. We'll begin today's reading with an article headlined, Holding Fast to Flag. This was written by Teresa Churchill. As Memorial Days go, this year's was a great day for flags. But the same winds that kept them flying in all their glory Monday morning also kept Boy Scouts hopping during two remembrance ceremonies, writing wreaths placed in honor of fallen servicemen. Brendan Wilson, 13, of Decatur, was in charge of Troop 202's detail at Fairview Park and said stopping flags and wreaths from blowing over was their primary task. I've been in charge of a campout and other stuff before, but nothing like this, Brendan said. It'll be interesting. As it turned out, the scouts were so good at their job, there was little to distract the scores of people attending the Memorial Day ceremony of the Veterans Assistance Commission of Macon County. Indeed, the Reverend Miley Palmer, visitation minister for First Presbyterian and First United Methodist Churches, even noted the weather in his invocation. As the winds swirl around us here and now, we're reminded that too often the winds of war have swirled around our nation and buffeted it, Palmer said. So our prayers are with the men and women protecting us even yet today. Members of Troop 135 performed their flag duty later Monday morning during the 20th annual Memorial Day service of the local Korean War Veterans Association at Graceland Cemetery. The guest speaker at Fairview Park was Tim Gleason, who has been Decatur's city manager for 2 months and who served in the Army as a military police officer from 1984 to 1987. He shared a memorable phone call he received from his son, Jacob, who had studied French in high school and was traveling in France in June 2011, right around the anniversary of the Allied invasion of Normandy, known as D-Day. He talked about being at the landing and at the cemetery over there, Gleason said. I knew my son got it. And I see a lot of people today, the Boy Scouts and the other young people, and you guys get it as well. The importance of remembering the ultimate sacrifice that has been made for us. Other younger faces at Fairview Park included Jeff Crosby, 25, of Mount Zion, who was deployed to Iraq with the Army from 2010 to 2011. There to help him honor the memories of the friends who died were his wife, Mary, his sisters, Ashley and Megan Crosby, ages 22 and 18, and his mother, Jennifer Hosler, and his brother, Gene Josler, 13. Others in attendance included Donald Theobald, 83, of Decatur, who served as an Army combat engineer during the Korean War, and his wife Joan and Irwin Soliday, 97, of Forsyth, who fought in the Pacific with the Army during World War II. I think it's a wonderful thing to see people come out and display their patriotism, Soliday said. At Graceland Cemetery, Lieutenant Tony Brown of the Macon County Sheriff's Office gave a heartfelt thanks to the Korean War veterans present. It's a privilege and an honor to be in the presence of true American heroes, Brown said. This was a war against the forces of international communism. So to me, this was the most significant war the United States was involved in. Bill Haynes, president of the Charles Parler chapter number 24 of the Korean War Veterans Association, read the names of members who have died in the past year: Chester Boggs, William Brazil Jr., Robert Cassidy, Lester Miller, and Jerry Seymour. There to honor the memory of her late husband was Vivian Myers, 90, of Decatur. Russell Myers, buried at Graceland Cemetery after his death in 1992 at age 71, served during World War II and in the Korean War. He loved the Navy and joined the reserves after World War II, never thinking there would be another war, Myers said. It was a beautiful service, wasn't it? Jim Roach of Decatur, a member of the Macon County Honor Guard, was among many people who attended both ceremonies Monday. A gold clasp from his Navy service during the Vietnam War, keeping his black tie from flapping in the breeze. As long as it's not raining, it's a great day, he said. Our next article is headlined In Honor of Service, and this was written by Chris Lusvardi. Bob Perozzo wasn't sure if the weather would cooperate Monday for a visit to Scoville Zoo in Decatur. As it turned out, Perozzo is glad his 10-year-old granddaughter Gracie wanted to go and spend time with him and his wife Nancy. It was the first time Bob and Nancy Perozzo, who live in Kincaid, had been to that zoo. Everything was fun, said Gracie, who lives in Springfield and was visiting the zoo for the second time. From viewing the red pandas and snakes to feeding the goats, Gracie said they experienced all the zoo has to offer, plus had time to run around on the playground. The experience ranks right up there with other zoos she has visited, Gracie said. In addition to spending the holiday afternoon with his family, Perozzo was in for one more surprise once they arrived at the zoo. Free admission and free train rides were being offered to military veterans and active personnel in recognition of Memorial Day. Perozzo served from 1959 to 1962 in the Navy aboard the USS Valley Forge, a ship that was in service starting in 1946 before being decommissioned in 1970. It's one small thing we can do to honor their service, said Dave Webster, Assistant Zoo Director. A steady stream of veterans were at the zoo throughout the day as each party was asked if any among them had served. Tim Bolin of Champaign, who is retired from the Navy, visited the zoo along with his wife. We haven't been here in years, Bolin said. Bolin was appreciative of the surprise and gesture of gratitude from the zoo, having no idea beforehand it was being offered. He said Memorial Day is about honoring those who have served and sacrificed for the country, especially those who have seen action. We'll turn now to news about crime and the courts. Here's the headline. Decatur man killed, four wounded in shooting at Club Maxi. This was written by H&R staff. A shooting early Monday morning in Decatur left one person dead and four others injured. Mishari A. Halbrook, 28 of Decatur, was pronounced dead at Decatur Memorial Hospital after being transported by ambulance with gunshot wounds, Macon County Coroner Michael E. Day said. Decatur police said the dead man was one of five people shot about 12:18 a.m. at Club Maxi, 1816 North Water Street. Police said multiple people were present at the time of the shooting, attending what was described as a concert-type event. Halbrook died approximately 30 minutes after arrival at the hospital, Day said. An autopsy is scheduled Tuesday at the McLean County Morgue in Bloomington, Day said. Police continue to investigate the incident, and anyone with information can call 217-424-2711 or Crime Stoppers at 217-423-TIPS. Halbrook's death was the third homicide in Decatur this year and the second over the holiday weekend. We'll turn now to some articles related to education. This one is headlined, Summer Camps Will Hone Skills of Teachers, written by Valerie Wells, Dateline Decatur. Alyssa Becker knew she wanted to be a teacher when she was very young. Now that she's a sophomore at Millikan University, working at the Decatur School's summer camp will give her a chance to get a real taste of teaching. A lot of kids need someone in their life they can look up to that can support them. And I think I can be that for them, she said. I think that's a really good reason to go into teaching. This year's summer camps will be staffed entirely with Decatur teachers, assisted by a college student and a high school student for each group in a leadership triad, said Diane Brandt, one of the coordinators. The camps, beginning June 8th, will have familiar names. Camp Connections for kindergarten through fifth grade. Camp Discovery for sixth through eighth grade. Smash Camp Junior for gifted students in second to fifth grade. And Smash Camp Senior for gifted students in sixth through eighth grade. Though in years past, students who were at risk of falling behind were targeted for Camp Connections and Camp Discovery, this year's registration was open to any family that wanted to sign up until the camps were full. We're doing a design process, so we're coming up with a real-world problem, then creating activities and lessons around that real-world problem, Brandt said. Everything is problem-based, and getting them to look at a problem and kind of struggle with it like we do every day and come up with solutions. Camp Discovery's main topic is survival and looking at the things that have happened in our community. A tornado, how do you survive that? How do you pick up the pieces and go on? Smash Junior campers will work on how to improve parks, and Smash Senior's problem is how to value the undervalued. Camp Connections will study how to be heroes to their community. Dennis School has had success with problem-based learning, and the rest of the district is moving in that direction. Designing lessons around kids' interests can spark their enthusiasm and creativity. Hope Academy's first grade teacher, Shelby Proctor, is in her first year of teaching and hopes to bring back some of the summer camp feeling to her classroom in the fall, she said. For high school students, serving as part of the triad will help them explore careers. Gabrielle Hood is considering social work, while Hannah Hillman has her heart set on teaching. Both said working with the children and learning from working with teachers will help them prepare. Brittany Walsh has worked with the district before. "This only confirms I'm where I'm meant to be," she said. The next article, Homeless Shelter Gets Students Aid, was written by H&R staff, and the dateline is Mattoon. The fun and games at Mattoon High School this weekend may have been a nice way for kids to blow off steam at the school year's close, but the events had a deeper meaning as well. The Carnival for a Cause, sponsored by the school's Family and Consumer Science Club, allowed children 3 to 12 to play carnival games while also serving as a fundraiser for the Mattoon Area PADS Homeless Shelter. Children could eat strawberries off plates of whipped cream, dig through a tub of Insta snow to clean off animals, or go on a treasure hunt through the school. Club advisor Aaron Clifford said the club has been planning a fundraiser all year and originally considered a car wash. Sophomore club member Chloe Anderson came to the club with an opportunity through Thrivent Financial. The organization offers $250 worth of seed money for events that can help the community, she said. I had that opportunity, and I wanted to use it to help the homeless shelter, she said. Since FCS Club was already working with them to try to help raise money, I thought I would come to Mrs. Clifford. Clifford said the club goes to PADS twice a month to serve meals and has seen the organization's need for a bigger building. Club members had raised approximately $500 before the event and hoped to generate $5,000 by year's end, she said. Not just one group is going to be able to fund it. We all have to work together, Clifford said. That goes along with our philosophy of giving a little to help a lot. If every single organization in town can give a little, then we can help PADS toward this goal. Club members were hoping for a maximum turnout of 50. Anderson said approximately 30 kids participated. Anderson and Junior Club President Haley Towell said they were glad to help out a worthy organization. Anderson said she's also visited PADS with her youth group, but because of other commitments, she's been unable to participate in all the club's activities, but was happy she could help out with the carnival. Tal said seeing the shelter has opened her eyes to organizations' needs. She wanted to dedicate all the club's fundraising to PADS this year, she said. I just like to help people. I've always been like that, Towell said. Rachel Rogers writes the next article, Drug Test Policy Set at Mount Zion. This fall, students wanting to participate in extracurricular activities at Mount Zion High School will have to consent to the district's recently adopted random drug testing policy. The Mount Zion School Board approved the policy May 4th, applying to all students who participate in sports, clubs, driving, and parking at the school. The policy also extends to school dances, banquets, the graduation ceremony, and any activity organized and sponsored by the district. High school principal Craig Garber said a large committee of school board members, administrators, teachers, parents, and students meet on an annual basis to discuss changes to the district handbook. And for the first time, a parent proposed implementing a random drug testing policy this year. Students' health and well-being is our number one priority, and we want to promote good decision-making, Garber said. The idea is not to catch kids. The idea is to deter them and give them a reason to say no to those temptations. All students wishing to participate in activities that fall under the policy and their parents or legal guardians will be required to sign a consent form by September 1st or within 10 days of enrollment, whichever is later. A random selection of students would be subject to urinalysis tests that would detect prohibited substances, including alcohol, marijuana, hallucinogenic drugs, barbiturates, and amphetamines. The testings would be performed at the school by clinical specialists from a district-approved laboratory. Assistant Principal Mike Moss said the cost will be between $25 and $50 per test, depending on what lab the district approves this summer. He said they do not anticipate increasing fees to fund the testing, and the total cost to the district will be known later this summer after factoring in how many of the 740 students will be randomly tested. The district will finance all initial tests, but further testing must be paid for by students and their parents or legal guardians, he said. For a student's first offense, the consequence would be ineligibility for all extracurricular activities for 3 months. After 3 months, the student's participation could be reinstated if he or she provides the school with documentation of a negative test result from a district-approved facility performed at the student's expense. The student would also have to provide proof of completing a drug and alcohol assessment and awareness program. The second offense would result in 12 months of ineligibility, and the third would ban the student from extracurricular activities for the remainder of the student's time at the school. On May 14th, Garber conducted a school assembly with all high school students and those from the Mount Zion Junior High School who will be incoming freshmen to discuss the policy. After hearing about the policy from her daughter, who will be a junior in the fall, Jill Phillips was disappointed that parents were not consulted prior to the decision to implement random drug tests and that they have yet to be contacted by the district. This isn't just a change in the dress code. This has a lot of implications, she said. I didn't think there was a pervasive drug problem, and parents should have been notified that there was a problem, so we could have had an open discussion. She said the money the district will have to spend to finance the tests could take away from better options, such as expanding drug and alcohol awareness programming. She added that the policy would detract from the parent's responsibility to deal with a child's drug or alcohol problem. I don't think this will be a deterrent, she said. I think this will give a false sense of security for parents when we are the ones who are on the front lines of this. This is our responsibility. In March, the Decatur School District approved a random drug testing policy that applies to any non-academic extracurricular activities. The policy would apply to those in privileged non-academic activities, such as chess club, but would not affect those participating in activities such as the graduation ceremony, said Todd Kovalt, the district's chief operational officer. Garber said the Mount Zion district researched policies from several schools, including Warrensburg Latham High School, Matamora Township High School near Peoria, and Rochelle Township High School, which is about 25 miles south of Rockford. Valerie Wells writes this, Maroa native wins teaching honor. Lee Parrott was surprised in the middle of class when the Golden Apple Award Selection Committee showed up to tell him he was a winner. I was nominated by a family who had a couple of different children in my class, he said. A native of Maroa who teaches in Naperville, the 45-year-old Parrott holds degrees from Illinois State University and the University of St. Francis in Joliet. And thanks to the Golden Apple Award, we'll be able to take a sabbatical in the spring of 2016 to pursue further studies of his choosing. I'm a master's plus 60 credit hours, one step under a doctorate, so I may pursue that, Parrott said, though he added that he's never had any desire to go into administration. He plans to remain in the classroom throughout his career. The Golden Apple Award recognizes outstanding Illinois teachers who have innovative ideas, and its other programs help future teachers and provide professional training to veteran teachers. Parrott will receive his award at the annual gala in October. He is the son of Mike and Sharon Parrott, who still live in the area, though Lee Parrott moved north during his student teaching days. I went to school at Illinois State and remember them asking me where I wanted to do my student teaching, Parrott said. I had done subbing in Central Illinois and I wanted new experiences. A classmate recommended going north. I got placed in Naperville and I've been here ever since. Sharon Parrott said her son likes the Chicago area, even though he's from a small town. He teaches second grade at Westmere School in Plainfield after spending 13 years with first graders. Educators often say that more men are needed in primary grade levels, but few male teachers gravitate to that age group. It's just my fit, Parrott said. I seem to give my best to the younger ones. Some of the innovations he uses include think time, allowing students a moment to consider before answering questions. The Lunch Bunch, a weekly meal with small groups of students, and time to play games or have relaxed conversation, and a running club to promote fitness. We'll take a short break now and return with the second half hour of the May 26th issue of the Decatur Herald and Review. Please stay tuned.